Dave Moore on Today FM.
This fella's often number one in bookseller lists all around the world. He's the brains behind over 50 of Ireland's most loved books. It is Owen Colfer. Good morning, Owen.
That was a great segue there.
How about that?
You're a pro.
I've been practicing my Alan Partridge ways all morning long. Don't you worry, sir.
Good morning.
Great to see you. It's been a while since we talked, and I'm glad you came in because there's lots to talk about.
Yes.
But I'm going to focus first on, because it's this time of the year, and although I'm getting shouted at by playing Bruce Springsteen and Santa Claus is Coming to Town on the radio this morning, I am going to say it's Christmas time, though it's November 13th.
Yeah.
A Christmas book.
Yes.
For an author, is a Christmas book a little bit like a Christmas song for a musician?
It is, yeah. It's one of my various cunning plans to pay the pension is to have a Christmas book that will... And it's working. It's working fantastically because this was out last year in hardback.
Yes. Now we're out in paperback.
And now I'm getting another crack at the Christmas market.
Okay, so give everybody the kind of the back page or the elevator pitch for this. Yeah. What is this book all about?
It's about two people, Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit sad because Santa Claus's wife died. So he said, you know what? I'm sick of this.
I'm done.
He kind of blames himself because when he was in the sleigh, it's like a year for him.
Of course.
So he missed 40 years with his wife.
Okay.
So it's quite, so he said, you know, and these kids are so selfish. There's some amazing statistic that I don't know, it's like 15% of Christmas gifts are dumped without ever being opened.
Wow,
like
I did
some
not
huge
know that
thing. And he's like, that's what he said, that's it. 15%, I'm out.
You're out.
So he goes down to London and he's helping out with the homeless people in a park. Undercover.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this girl, Juniper, our hero, her mother goes missing through some various skullduggery. She decides, well, you know who might be able to find her? There's this guy who lives in a shack in the park, and I think I have a suspicion this guy,
he might know stuff.
He might know, you know, where you are or if you're being good or bad. So mm-hmm. She tracks him down, and then you get this reluctant relationship. And at the same time, there's this Irish gangster lady, Miss Trude Madden. Trude, now you might think it's short for Trudy, but it's short for Intrude.
Intrude, right, yes.
Because her dad named them all after the crimes they
okay.
He was convicted for. So she's kind of the comic relief.
Yeah.
And all those three strands come together.
They do come together really beautifully in Juniper's Christmas. But why did it feel right to write the book for last year? Like what had, you know, because I mean, you've been writing for so long, you've written so many stories.
Well, a friend of mine, Liam Bates, who's a composer, and I were commissioned to do a Christmas musical show. Mm. And when we finished that show, which toured around America, it was great. But I had still had some ideas for these characters left over that
had
been cut from the musical or that I had never used. And I thought, you know, well, and I was still enthusiastic about the musical. So I thought, you know what, I'll put them into a book. And
here they are.
Juniper's Christmas. The only bad thing about writing musicals and Christmas books is really they're only good for 5 weeks a year.
But so, what a 5 weeks,
what
though.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, Noddy Holder comes back.
I was going to say, you talk to Noddy or Mariah or any of the lads, like even Mr. George Michael.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll tell you that the 5 weeks are worth it.
And I think in the 80s and 90s, every artist was trying to crack in there with that market.
Yeah.
And it's so hard.
It is. But now, I must say, hasn't Juniper's Christmas also been picked up that it might be turned into something visual?
Yes. We have two producers, very like big, powerful producers, who are trying to get it made into a movie. And they've done movies like How to Train Your Dragon, that series.
Toy Story.
So a lot of big movies. So that's very exciting. And it was in, I was a big bestseller, I suppose, in the noughties or whatever. But like Juniper Christmas has like brought it all back, which is great.
Yeah.
It's nice, you know, to be back on the New York Times bestseller list again after a few years away. So yeah, I have a lot to thank Juniper for.
Rightly so. No, the book is amazing. I really enjoyed it. And
I have
a couple of kids now who over Christmas are going to be getting copies of that. And
I feel bad now about teasing you about your guitars.
Tease away. When someone takes, like Artemis Fowl, for example, takes a story of yours and takes it out of the medium that you have created it in, which is the book, and turns it into a movie, by the way, which I absolutely loved, by the way, both the book and the movie. How do you feel about seeing your vision realized, presumably, in a different way than it exists in your head? Is that okay?
It depends on the product. For me, the experience of the Artemis Fowl movie was amazing because they brought me out to wherever. I got to go in Fowell Manor, which they had built, like it's massive manor. So you're walking through, you know, Fowell Manor. Look, oh, there's Josh Gad. There's you know, all these people who are in the movie. But for me, the most exciting thing was seeing the two Irish young people.
Yes.
So that was Ferdy and Lara, who are doing great in show business as well. And just to see them transformed into the two main characters. And they really carried that movie. So it was lovely, but it was so surreal. And I remember my kids came to the set with me. Now they're 27 and 21 now, and Sean and Finn and Jackie, my wife, and they were kind of looking at me weird.
As yeah.
They hadn't realised what was going on. You know, they didn't realise, they knew I wrote books.
Sure, but they didn't realise this could then be turned into a Hollywood, Colin Farrell, Judi Dench, Josh Gad, like...
Yeah, no, they didn't know that. And I myself was feeling strange. And I remember seeing that we went to see a screening and I was sitting in a cinema with Kenneth Branagh just... and my wife Jackie and I think Ferdy, and it was just, this is, I was trying to say, just remember this.
No, yeah, don't. Trying to live in this moment.
Just remember, whatever happens, this is a great moment. So I became quite friendly with a few people. And so that experience for me, and of course then the movie, about a month before the movie came out, the world shut down.
Yeah.
So I went to Disney Plus, which was also great. Mm. But it was a very strange and surreal, from a boy who wrote that in his spare bedroom, in a baby's bedroom in Wexford, you know, to this, it was a very strange.
But that's the joy, I think, of art in particular. And look, we're seeing it with Paul Mescal, who was on the show last Friday. Okay, so there's a boy from Maynooth who goes and acts in the biggest movie in the world. Last year, we had Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
You know, he goes and acts in and wins an Oscar. But everyone starts, I suppose we have a thing maybe because we're Irish. And we know how small Ireland is, that we think, well, how hard is it to get from here versus how hard is it to get from, you know, Laguna Beach to Hollywood? Yeah. It's a much easier. And it is. But then I think it's such a testament to this country that we foster art and we promote art and we love the fact that we have musicians that are world class and authors that are world class and actors and directors and writers. And
everyone is proud of each other.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm in competition with Derek Landy or whoever.
Exactly.
We all really support each other and talk about each other. And it is amazing.
It genuinely is.
I go to book festivals all over the world.
Yeah.
And there's always a couple of Irish writers knocking around
at the
festival or on the top of the bestseller list. And we just kind of take that for granted. But 25 years ago, that wasn't the case. That was not the case.
No.
Like you had Martin Waddell maybe. But that was kind of it. Mm. But now... there's so many kids writers and adult writers just flying it all over the world.
It is brilliant. Let's talk about, I don't know what you call it. You kind of dismiss it and say it's a shed, but where the place where you write your books was featured on Dermot Bannon's wonderful recent show.
Yeah.
And I would watch Dermot Bannon pretty much do anything, I'll be honest with you.
I love Dermot.
But when I saw he was having you on and talking specifically about a place you've created to be creative, I was utterly fascinated and then blown away when I saw it. So in case someone hasn't seen it, will you describe it?
It's like a kind of an aluminium space pod has landed in the garden, and it's slowly becoming green.
Because the aluminium is, the
and
weather so is changing it.
It looks like you're in Planet of the Apes and you've stumbled upon this thing that's been there for 500
maniacs.
Years. You maniacs! You blew it up. So, and it has a little, as I like to call it, a thinking recliner, is it for snoozing?
It might well be for snoozing.
If I'm honest, and it's beautiful red wood.
The red wood inside was what really caught my eye as well, because that just feels like a place where, no matter the weather outside, you're going to feel that kind of, I don't know, warmth and just kind of a nice place to think. Does red help you do that, or is
it
that?
It does. When they said red, I was the architect. I thought, really? Like red, strong? But actually, it's very relaxing. And there's a huge window at the front. And then behind me, at a slant, there's a massive mirror. So it actually feels like you're sitting in the garden. So it's fantastic. And it does help me to be creative, because as you get older, you do slow down a bit. But this kind of gives you
a bit of an oomph.
Put on 80s music. And
Music actually was one of the features as well, because obviously, yes, you have lots of music out there, bits and pieces, but I did notice guitars. And then I did see a lovely clip of your son who was out making music in the same room.
Myself and Sean share the office.
Yeah.
So he goes out there in the evening a lot, and he's all these little boxes and guitars and keyboard. You probably know what they're
I know exactly what they are. In fact, I share some of them. That's one I thought was like, oh, I have that.
He stole it from you.
All available everywhere.
But he,
yeah.
And he's studying music production, so he's a music head 100%.
Amazing. Well, that's what I did before I worked on radio. I was a writer-producer, and I literally did what he's doing now. So,
he absolutely loves it.
Yeah, there's nothing like it.
And I think he loves meeting other young musicians, and they collaborate.
Yes.
So he plays drums with one guy. Brilliant. There's a couple of girls who do lyrics for, you know, they do melodies and lyrics. So it's such an exciting time. And my other son, Finn, is 27, and he has a T-shirt brand.
Brilliant. What's that called?
IRL Studios.
IRL Studios. I've heard of them. So didn't realize it was yours.
He had his first drop recently.
Brilliant.
I learned that word.
Okay.
First I was, you know, you dropped your T-shirts.
Yeah. Where? In the puddle?
Yeah, and put on your jacket. You know, all these things.
Yeah. But it's a great so time. So exciting. For yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And as a dad, I can't be saying, now, lads, that's a very uncertain, because that's, I went into that world.
Listen, you myself, did. So. Well, also, like, I believe, like, leaders in education have said that now, in 2024, 2025 kind of time, is the first time that they don't know what jobs to prepare kids for in a generation's time. No, and that's only going to get more uncertain. So if your kid wants to sell T-shirts, your kid wants to make music, like that, they're traditional enough creative outlets. But who knows what they'll be doing in 10 years, you know?
Yeah. And whatever it is, I think I won't understand.
No, but they will be reading books, and I guarantee you they will, because I want to, if you shift that book of Juniper's Christmas off there, you have another book called Beanie the Banshee.
I know.
This is stunning looking. So this is a kid's picture book. Yeah. Is this another first for you?
No, I've done, a few. I've done a few, but this one, I've done some with PJ Lynch and Oliver Jeffers.
That's right, Oliver Jeffers. That's the ones I was thinking of.
But this is with a guy called Steve McCarthy, who's the most, one of the most amazing artists that I've worked with. And he lives in London, Irish guy. And it's about a banshee, which is a young banshee.
Yeah, of course.
Who decides she does not want to howl the howl of doom at her person to tell her that she's going to die. It's very Irish. It's got this dark humor to it. But what she's going to do is try and save her instead.
So see, that's wonderful.
Kind of flips it on its head. And what I love about Steve, he's given it a whole kind of goth punk look.
Oh, the artwork is beautiful.
It's spectacular.
Yeah, it really
I wish
is.
You could see this because it's gorgeous.
Yeah. Well, look, go to a bookshop, find it, own cover and Beanie the Banshee. You won't miss it. Black and green, absolutely beautiful. But I love a kid's book that has a bit of personality.
Yeah.
Like, and that's definitely, it's all over that.
Well, I love the character. You know, she's, and with Steve's art, it's so refreshing to see something that you think, I don't think I've seen a young banshee before.
Yes, exactly.
Because usually banshees get a bad rap.
They do, of course.
Hags that sit in a ditch. And that's it. And that's their whole job. And nobody knows where they came from or what they do, or, you know, if they're having a bad day. So Beanie has a whole personality and a backstory. So you get to understand it a little bit.
Exactly, which is very important, I think, for the poor misrepresented banshees of the world. Lots of messages in for you. Owen Colfer wrote, my favourite childhood book, Benny and Omar. I adored it. Still remember it and found it so interesting. Also made me very proud of the GAA.
All right. Yes, it was Roisin. All about the 1996 All-Ireland file with Wexford as seen from a boy living in North Africa.
There you go. Rachel in Carrickmacross says, I love Owen's books. I think because he's Irish, he writes as we speak. I love reading them to my kids. That's a wonderful thing. I've read Artemis Fowl to my kids. And I think that's a wonderful thing for a parent to do, to be able to kind of act out those books. You know what I mean?
It's my favourite story when you get like two and sometimes three generations of a family coming who have all read the book together, and I say, listen, lads, you really should have bought three books.
Stop sharing them, how dare you. But I get it totally. Listen, before I let you go, I must do the quick fire round with you, which I do with all my guests, which is never quick, so don't worry about it, but I'll ask you questions. Yes. What are you currently obsessed with?
Well, we are watching The Day of the Jackal right now.
Oh, I'm so waiting for that. I want to have a few episodes build up first.
So it's the first five are out, and Jackie and I are really loving.
And is it good? Yeah,
it's so good, and the cast is perfect.
Eddie Redmayne and Shauna Lynch. So. Yeah, I can't wait for it. I'm going to watch that with Tracy. We haven't watched a series together in a long time because we were burned so badly on so many ones that didn't work, and I have to watch so many for work. We're going to do it now. Who is the most famous person in your phone?
I would say Peter Kay is probably
famous.
He called me once, like 15 years ago.
You saved his number.
He came to a gig. I was doing a gig, and he came and he sat at the back.
Yeah.
And at the end of the gig, it's kind of a comedy thing, and I'd run up the middle aisle to get to the signing table at the back. And he was trying to escape because you can't, if you're Peter Kay.
Yes, you can't escape.
And he just said, I have to go before I get mobbed, but I have a few tips for you. I'll call you tomorrow.
No way.
So he called me tomorrow and he spent an hour kind of giving me a few tips on how to deliver some lines and
wow.
you know, where to stand and stop looking down and stop doing this. But he was so, so nice and so sweet. That was great.
That's so nice of him.
And
to
I
do
may
that.
Know some of you too.
He may. We won't need to get too far into that, but he might just do that. Think back to when you were about 8 years old.
Yeah.
So we're going back about 5 or 6 years now. And you open up your lunchbox.
Yeah.
In school for Susbyug or Susmore. What's inside?
Well, you see, that is, it's more than 8 years old. We did not have school lunches.
No.
Back in the 70s and 80s, 70s. I'm 59, so when I was 8, it would have been 1960 or 1973.
Yeah.
So we would go home and there was an
and
hour
you'd go home and have a lunch.
So you go home and have your dinner.
Your dinner?
Yeah.
So what would you have had?
It could be anything. My favourite was always like steak and kidney pie from the local Hartridge's Butchers.
Right.
They were fantastic. So if your mother, if you came home and they were there
yeah.
with some potatoes maybe, that would be great. And a bun after.
10 out of 10.
So that was the perfect meal.
Okay, the final question I ask all my guests on, because I don't, and I think you know this is coming.
Is this wash your legs?
Yes, do you wash your legs in the shower, Mr. Owen Colfer? I need to know this.
I have my servants do that. I just stand there and I say, legs.
I'm a New York Times bestseller.
I say, legs, people. No, I do. And the reason I do is because I heard you didn't. I said, I should be washing my legs.
So I've inspired you.
I remember Dermot was so disgusted.
Yes.
I said, I better. And I have to get a blanket.
A lap blanket as well. Yeah. You're more than welcome. Well, Owen, listen, it's an absolute pleasure to have you in. Best luck. Juniper's Christmas out in paperback now. Hopefully soon to see it on the big screen. And Beanie the Banshini out. So a couple of Owen Colfer options for you for different age groups over Christmas. Thanks so much for coming in. Best luck with it all.
Thank you. Anytime.
Cheers on. Dave Moore on Today FM.